Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? When these people say stuff like that.
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay, I'm going to try to scoot over and talk to this guy. Yeah, only on university campuses. Dude's wearing flip-flops and a ski hat. He's hot, he's cold. I'm not exactly sure, but I want to talk to him. You're listening to Wretched Radio on Witness Wednesday. Hey, dude. While you're walking, could I talk to you for a moment on the radio?
Sure.
Cool. I just walking. I'll follow along. Okay. All right. What are you listening to on your headset?
Right now, Newfound Glory.
What's that?
It's a band, a punk band, I'd say.
Newfound Glory. What mm-hmm. is that? What does that mean?
It's a band name.
What does it mean?
Newfound.
It's got the name Glory. Is it religious?
No, not religious. I'd say it's just. I really don't know.
All right. Here's why I wanted to talk to you. You're flip-flopping, and you got a ski hat on.
Mm-hmm.
How come?
The hat's comfortable. And I like to have the air on my feet.
But not on your head?
No.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. We all have personal preferences.
It's also fashionable.
Ah, for the chicks.
Of course.
There you go. Because that's a big part of going to school, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Overall, do you think this is a pretty moral campus?
I'd say so.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know? Compared to...
There's a lot of places you can go religious-wise if you'd like to. They keep everything pretty decent. You don't see, like, you know, inappropriate posters
all over
the place.
I've been surprised at that.
I think it's a pretty moral, pretty good campus.
Yeah. What about you? How are you morally?
I mean, I'm not too religious. I don't go to church, but I believe I have a moral standing. I just... not tied to one religion at the moment.
Yeah. Do you think you're a good person?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. How do you know?
Because I always ask myself what I feel is morally right, and I do that.
Is it possible that there's a moral standard outside of yourself?
You mean like pre-written morals that we should follow, like a religion?
Well, that or wherever you get it, I'm just thinking about the criminal who would stand in front of the judge maybe and say what you just said, and that is, Judge, every day I ask myself, am I living right? Ultimately, it's not going to matter. If the judge thinks you're guilty no matter what you think.
Right. Well, I mean, there are laws that you have to obey, and...
What about moral laws, though?
Laws?
Nobody's looking. Stuff you can get away with, stuff where there aren't written laws about it. Do you think that there's a different set of morals in the universe?
I believe that you're going to have to... I believe in karma. So I believe if you do something wrong, morally wrong, even if no one catches you, eventually you're going to have to pay for it.
Okay, who's... I'm always curious, going this way. When it comes to karma, who is the cosmic accountant that's making sure that people get punished?
It's not necessarily that there's some higher being, in my belief.
This way?
Like I said, I'm not really with a religion. It's mostly that almost probability. It's just a power. It's not really a being. It's just the forces of nature, kind of.
No, that sounds like God to me.
In a sense, it is. It's just I'm not exactly atheist. I just don't know which god I'd like to call it yet.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Is it perhaps a more specific question, not what do I want to call God, but who is God?
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And you don't know?
I'd say so.
Did you grow up in a religious home?
Yes. Baptist.
Southern Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And who did they say God is?
A divine being that created the earth and all the things in it and... controls all the things in it.
Uh-huh. And you don't think that's right?
I think it's right. I just didn't stick with that religion because there were some things that I was unsure about. And there were some things in other religions that I...
Oh, we're interested.
That I liked. Yeah.
What were you unsure about when it comes to being a Southern Baptist?
The creation... me, obviously, I go to tech. I like science. I kind of feel more towards the scientific creation and evolution.
Yeah.
But can't really think of too many examples off the top of my head. Huh. Mostly it was just I saw other things in other religions that I appreciated.
Like reincarnation, karma?
Karma. Not necessarily reincarnation, but karma and just...
Well, Christianity has karma in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
That God will make sure that anything that's done that's wrong will get punished. So that aspect is in Christianity, isn't it?
Yes, I didn't feel it. Like, when I talk to Christians and I go to church and things like that, I didn't feel that they believed in karma as I did. I didn't feel like their points of view of the topic were agreed entirely with mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at a point where I'm just looking around. Probably I will end up going back to Southern Baptist just because that's my roots, and if anything, it's probably what I feel strongest with.
Okay, tell
me.
Believe it or not, you and I have a lot in common. You don't know this, but we do. I was a lot like you many years ago because I didn't understand something. So I'd like to ask you, tell me, what is the gospel?
The gospel? The books written by...
No, what is the gospel? The good news. The Christian gospel.
Don't believe I know.
Okay, that might be a big... What's your first name?
Casey.
Okay, Casey. It's all right. Okay, Casey, this might be helpful. I'm going to ask you a tough question. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to test that, all right? How many lies have you told in your life?
A few.
Okay, so if you tell a few lies, what does that make you? If I told a few lies, you might call me a...
Liar.
Okay, how many things have you stolen in your life?
Never.
Okay. How many times have you taken God's name in vain?
I might have a few.
Blasphemy. Okay. How many times, we talked about girls before, how many times have you looked at a woman on campus with lust, with sexual desire?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, and we'll leave it there. We won't get into fornication. Okay. We won't get into pornography. We'll just leave it with looking with lust.
Okay.
Okay, the Bible says you're going to die, and you're going to give an account. The books will be open, so there you stand, naked before God. No attorneys, no parents, nothing. You and God. He knows every thought, every deed done in darkness, everything you should have done but didn't, all the times you had a meal and you didn't thank him.
Mm-hmm.
Would he find you innocent or guilty, Casey?
Well, again, that comes back to, that's the Christian God that you're speaking of. The things that you've named off that you feel are wrong does not agree with what I feel is wrong.
Again, this comes back to, it doesn't matter what the criminal thinks. The question is, what does the judge think? So, if the Bible is true, okay, grant me that premise. If the Bible is true, if the God of the Bible is the only God, no other options, he's it. He's the creator, he's your maker, those are his laws. Would you be innocent or guilty?
I would consider myself innocent because my beliefs are different than yours. I don't believe...
But I believe there could be
more than one God. I believe there could be a Christian God. There could be, you know, Buddha. There could be multiple gods. We each may see our own God when we come to
Setting
heaven.
That aside for a moment, my premise is this. If there is only one God,
okay,
and you stand before him and he knows everything you've done, innocent or guilty...
I may be guilty of a few things. That's for him to decide.
Right.
But I do things as I feel best. Day to day, I do what I feel is right. And I don't regret a single thing I've done. If I stand in front of him, if I have done wrong in choosing who I wish to believe, and I stand in front of your God, and he deems me guilty and sends me to hell, then I can at least say I've done my best. I've done what I feel is right. Day to day, moment to moment, I've done what I feel is right, and I deserve what I get.
Okay.
And I will burn in hell, and that's what I pay. At least I can say that I made the best decision I could moment to moment.
You don't want to go to hell?
I don't want to, but if I'm doing the best I feel I can, and your God sends me to hell, what does that say about your God?
That he's just.
Okay, then I deserve to go to hell. That's what it boils down to.
Casey, what's the gospel? Tell me, what's the gospel now? This is where the good news comes in. What is it?
You mean if I do all things right, I go to heaven?
No, you haven't. So you're in big trouble already. So that's.
But you're saying that's what the good news would be.
No.
If I did do everything right.
How many years did you go to church, Casey?
I went to church, went to summer Bible camp of years when I was younger.
Okay.
Didn't go to church on Sundays, no.
Okay, dude, the good news is, Jesus Christ, you've heard his name.
Mm-hmm.
He's God. He came to this earth to die on a cross to take the punishment you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve the wrath of the Father. Jesus took it on your behalf so that your sins can be forgiven. You've broken the law. Jesus paid your fine. And if you'll repent, apologize, put your trust in Jesus Christ, then the Bible says you'll be forgiven of your sins and God will grant you everlasting life. That's the good news. You don't have to go to hell. God will save you and he'll take you to heaven based on what his son did. That's the good news of the gospel. Now, I know you're thinking about stuff here. And you're going through campus and college and trying to figure these things out. All right? I can't club you over the head and make you a Christian. But at least now, if nothing else, there's some clarity about what the Christian gospel is. We're lawbreakers. Jesus died for us and demonstrated his love. You've heard the verse, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian gospel is that of good news. It does demand that you confess that all other gods are idols. They aren't true. They don't exist. There's only one true God and his son, Jesus Christ. And if you'll repent and put your trust in him, you'll go to heaven. That's the Christian gospel. So as you ponder things and try to figure it out as you're on campus here,
mm-hmm.
now at least you're dealing with what the Bible teaches, and now you know what the options are. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right, dude. Thanks for the chat. You're a gentleman. Good Thanks day. Very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, all right, man. See ya. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and here's why. The culture we live in right now has made it pretty clear it has very little interest in the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're being told to keep our faith quiet in public or to soften what we believe so it goes down easier. Fortis Institute has no intention of doing either one. We exist to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this spring, we're doing it as loudly and as boldly as we know how. Your gift will help launch two new podcasts. It puts Todd Frill's new book, Go Serve Your King, into print through HarperCollins. And it puts the gospel back onto college campuses where it's least welcome and most needed. Our goal is $250,000, and we're asking if you would prayerfully consider helping us get there. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, here's something that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, but it's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. As Sunday is Sunday. Work is work. Parenting is parenting. And somewhere in there, you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast, Integrated, is so incredibly important. Dr. Krotz is a pastor. He's an author. He's a biblical counselor. And he's a Fortis Institute fellow and the host of Integrated. And he is helping people see how Scripture speaks to every part of their life. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the practical, everyday, how do I actually live this stuff out stuff. And if what we're doing at Fortis Institute has been a source of encouragement for you, I want to ask you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 1206. Francis of Assisi renounces wealth and goes on to lead a band of poor friars preaching the simple life. The 13th century saw the rise of a number of monastic orders dedicated to simple living and social engagement. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay, here's my guy. He's sitting on a bench. He's got a backpack. There's a shocker. And he's got red hair. My understanding is red hair in Great Britain is not a good thing. Not the same in the States, but apparently in Great Britain, if you've got red hair, there's a name for it. And they're not nice names, let's put it that way. He looks like he might be an athletic sort of fellow. Let's see if we can chat with him. Hey, young man, while you're sitting killing time, could I talk to you on the radio for a minute?
Sure.
Cool. What's your first name?
Nathan Steele.
Nathan, nice to meet you. Do you know what your first name means?
No, I don't.
I do.
What's it mean?
It means gift of God. Did you know that?
I didn't.
It's a Hebrew name. It's one of the few things I remember from studying Hebrew. Natan is your name. It means gift of God.
Cool.
Dude, what are you studying here at the campus?
Computer science.
Computer, so you're a geek. You are a geek.
I am.
Here's my question for you, Nathan. The big storm that went through Georgia, tons of rain, a lot of devastation, flooding, some people died. Nathan, who do you think caused that rain to happen? Was there a god, a cosmic force, nature? Who is the one responsible for all that rain?
I'd have to say nature.
Nature. No? Hello.
Hello.
You don't have to stand. Are you together? Just hanging out? You'd have to say nature. So it just kind of happened all by itself. Mm-hmm. Cool. Do you believe that there is a god?
I do.
Who do you think it is, Nathan?
Couldn't tell you. I'd say there's a god, but I couldn't tell you who it is.
So why do you think there is one?
Just how I grew up.
Did you grow up in a church?
Christian, yep.
Couple? Okay. What kind of creed? There's lots of stripes
Catholic.
Of Christians. So you're Catholic. So you believe in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right?
Yep.
I got that. Look at me, two today. Nathan and Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So would you be willing to say that that is who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost?
I'd say so.
Cool. You believe in that God. How come?
Couldn't tell you, honestly.
Really? Maybe because you just grew up with it?
Yeah.
Kind of went along with the program. How old are you now, Nathan?
18.
So you're a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
So now you should be figuring out if that's true or not, huh? Why would somebody like me want to believe what you believe? Can you give me a good reason to believe what you believe?
Nope. I'd say just believe whatever.
Whatever. All right. Are you ready for some tough questions now?
Sure.
All right. These are going to get dicier. Nathan, would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I would.
You're sure?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to quiz you.
All right.
All right. Nathan, how many lies have you told in your life?
Oh, countless.
Countless. Okay. So if I told countless lies, what would you call me?
Say you're a normal person.
Well, I don't think I disagree with you, but the name that you would give to me rhymes with pants on fire.
All right.
A liar?
A liar.
Right? You tell a bunch of lies, mm-hmm. You're a liar. All right. Nathan, how many things do you think you've stolen in your life?
A couple.
Couple. All right. Only one thing, and that would make you a...
Liar. Or
thief.
A thief.
Thief.
Yep.
Righto. Okay. Little trickier. Thought life. What goes on in your brain? Have you ever just been really mad at somebody torqued driving down the road? You think they're a moron for being such a terrible driver?
Absolutely.
Okay. Because God sees what's going on in your brain and would call that murder of the heart. Now, it's not as bad as committing the act, but it's still bad because you've had a hateful, murderous thought in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
I have not.
Ever?
Nope.
Ever never?
Nope.
Not an OMG? None of
nope.
that monkey business?
Nope.
You're sure?
Yep.
All right. So you're good to go on that mm-hmm. one. All right. Has God always been your number one priority in life?
Nope.
Okay. Because that would be the first commandment. Mm-hmm. Right there. All right. Now, you don't have to answer this one, especially with the girl standing here. But if you have ever had thoughts about other people that were, well, let's say... either R or X rated, or if mom or dad knew about him, it would be kind of embarrassing. That would also be a strike against you as a good person.
That would.
All right? All right, so dude, I just asked you like 5 questions to see if you're a good person, and you confessed to me that you're a liar, a thief, a murderer, and potentially an adulterer at heart. Yikes. You're sure you're a good person?
Yep.
Okay, so if you died and you stood before God and he knew the books and he knew everything that you've ever done, ever, every deed done in darkness, everything you failed to do,
mm-hmm.
all those things by not having him first in your life, would he say that you, Nathan, are an innocent man or a guilty man?
I would have to say innocent.
How come?
Because, I don't know, that's hard to say. I don't know.
Well, if you've broken the laws...
That is true.
You'd be guilty.
I guess so.
I know I'd be guilty. Way more than you, by the looks of you, but I'd be guilty and you'd be guilty.
I I guess so.
Okay, so if God is just, this Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is just, and he hates sin, and he's got to punish lawbreakers, because he doesn't like it when criminals get away with breaking the law. We don't like that either, do we, when we watch the news and we see the bad guy get away? What would God do with you, Nathan?
Probably punishment.
Okay, heaven or hell for you?
Couldn't tell you. I think that'd be up to him.
I agree. But we could probably conclude it wouldn't be a good day
no,
for Nathan.
No, probably not.
Probably not a good day. All right, now, dude, you have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So the Father's going to judge you, send you to hell if you've broken his laws. Tell me, what did the Son do so you don't have to go to hell?
Recant.
No, tell me what he did 2,000 years ago. Here's what we got. Here's our situation. Nathan's a lawbreaker. You're on trial. You're guilty. You've got an infinite debt to pay. Jesus did something 2,000 years ago to pay your fine. What did he do?
Come on.
All right. Actually, you know what? I have to go.
Okay. Real quick. You'll catch up to it. What did Jesus do 2,000 years ago so you don't have to go to hell? You know this.
Gave his life.
That's right. He died for you, a sinner, so that you don't have to go to hell. You need to repent and put your trust in him, all of your sins forgiven, so that you don't die and go to hell. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
What do you think about this today?
All right.
All right. I appreciate it, Nathan. See ya.
See ya.
All right. Goodbye. Nathan had to go chase after the chick. Who did I think it was Johnny Hunt that I just heard at the Deeper Conference. Johnny Hunt just said something. He's the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. If you've never heard the fire and brimstone preaching of Johnny Hunt, I agree with him. He said most people in this country, they've heard parts of the story. They just need you to put it together for them. And it's very, very true. This, you know, this kid, he knows Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but doesn't believe in him, but that's his God, but he doesn't know who it is, and Jesus on the cross, the whole, it's just a hash for them, and you need to help put it together for them, and you can. It's really, honestly, if I ever get this book published, what I think is the biggest, if you want to use marketing terms, target market there is in the country. People who went to church as a kid but don't understand the gospel, or they've had some sort of Christian experience going to a Christian camp or the football outreach thing, but they never really understood it, and they need you to clear it up for them. Most people in this country fit that category. So if you're an odds kind of guy or gal, and it's like, well, who should I go witness to, where there's a good chance that they're confused? Answer pretty much anybody in this country. So please find yourself a fishing hole, and it might even be your neighborhood. Could you start up a Bible study in your neighborhood? I tell you this with pride is a sin. With glee, with delight. Okay, I'm going to tell you the story about a woman. I don't want to use her name, but let's just say that I'm married to her. She was trying to figure out something that, besides being a part of this ministry and supporting this ministry and doing this ministry, besides this, she wanted to figure out, okay, what can I do directly? And she thought it through and pondered this and pondered that, and then finally decided, neighborhood Bible study. Neighborhood Bible study. And even though it turns out here in the South, there's a lot of neighborhood Bible studies, but I got to tell you something, they might as well just be called coffee clutches, because that's basically what they are. I was in like a Starbucks or a Caribou. I walked up to the table of women who are, they've got their Bibles open, all the different pages, because basically they just pulled up a table, ordered their latte frappe, and they were just sitting there chatting. So when I walked up to the table and said, hey, ladies, what are you studying? What? You've got Bibles. What are you studying? Oh, well, we haven't gotten that far yet. Big a little, dug a little, big a little, dug a little. And that's what a lot of neighborhood Bible studies are. So why don't you compete with a good one and start doing your networking? And that's what this woman that I happen to know and live with, who I happen to be married to, did. How many people are attending it? Five. No. Is that a huge success? Absolutely. And it doesn't matter if it was five or even one. And her, and I believed her. She said, if one shows up, I'll be happy. If I can just explain it to one, what is your bag, Christian? Get on it. I'm telling you. Yeah, you're going to get shot down once in a while. Yes, you will be sick to your stomach, nervous. It can be considered like a weight loss program. I'm telling you, it'll make you nervous and sick to your stomach. It is scary. Whoop-de-doo. Do it, and the joy that you will get out of it, and if somebody, even one, gets saved, even one gets it. Besides that, you're not called to do the saving. You're just called to do the preaching. So please, figure out your deal and get on it, would you? Because everywhere I look here on the campus, they're just lost. And they're at such a ripe age to figure it out. I know George Barna will say this or that statistic about the college kids, they've lost their faith. Well, they didn't lose it. They never had it in the first place. And my belief is that most of these kids are at least willing to try to figure it out. We'll keep going on a Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.